Chase Briscoe is going back sprint car racing. Corey Eliason gets a much needed win. Justin Henderson has a new ride. We've had a Lucas Championship shakeup, and we've got details on Hudson O'Neill's immediate future. Let's go. It's Monday, March 25th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. The Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series closed out their weekend yesterday with a stop at Atomic Speedway in Ohio. Originally scheduled for Friday, it was bumped to Sunday because of weather. The show turned into almost a complete sweep for Jonathan Davenport. Quick time overall in qualifying, a heat race win, and the feature win from the pole. He didn't lead every lap, though, so not a complete sweep, as Mike Marlar did sneak in a couple laps led in before halfway in lap traffic. It was all JD late, though, with him earning Lucas win at number two on the year. It was also a nice bounce back from a 15th place finish the night before at Brownstown. Davenport has now led laps in 6 of 15 Lucas races this season and leads the series in total laps led. After the feature, though, we've had a bit of a shakeup in the Lucas Championship standings. Ricky Thorne Jr. still leads, but only by 5 points over now Davenport, who's second. Devin Moran up to third after a victory and a third. He had a victory at Brownstown and a third at Atomic. And Hudson O'Neill has fallen from second to fourth. O'Neill started inside the top 10 in the main event, but had his night derailed by a flat left rear. He ended up 22nd. O'Neill hadn't finished outside the top 20 in a Lucas race since the Show Me 100 weekend last May. Behind O'Neill, from Mike Marlar in fifth to Tim McCready in ninth, those five drivers are now separated by just 105 points. So even with 15 races already done, things still incredibly fluid up and down the order. Lucas now goes quiet for the next several weeks as some other series, including regional stuff, XR, and the World of Outlaws will be the focus. Lucas is back April 26th at Georgetown. Back to Hudson O'Neill. Kyle McFadden got a chance to talk to him about everything that's transpired here lately, and you can read that full piece at flowracing.com and dirtondirt.com. This is really the first interview that O'Neill has done since all of this transpired. In that conversation, O'Neill revealed that he'll continue racing with Kevin Rumley over the next several weeks. Their plan is to hit I-75 and Tazewell this coming weekend with the Spring Nationals, and then the XR opener at Volunteer Speedway the week after that. From there, O'Neill told McFadden, quote, "It's a coin toss." He said they're still working to put some things together and that they think they know the direction that they are going. I think it's important to point out here as well that it's no small thing that O'Neill is going from Rocket Chassis to kind of the deep end here with Longhorn. Rumley and his car are obviously instrumental in Longhorn's development. It will both be an opportunity for comparison for Longhorn, but there is likely to be at least some transition period here for O'Neill. We know that it's taken Brandon Shepherd some time to get comfortable over the last year plus since leaving Rocket also. This will continue to be a storyline that we will be following in the coming weeks. At Babs Motor Speedway yesterday, Corey Eliason and the new look Ridge team got a much needed victory after a tough start to their sprint car season against High Limit and the World of Outlaws. Eliason was the beneficiary of first lap issues between Reese Nowotarski and Mark Smith. Nowotarski went into turn three on the opening lap, licked the stamp, and just sent it. A massive slider at Smith. Both guys ended up with issues. There was a caution. On the restart, Eliason was on the front row and he grabbed the early lead. Troy Wagaman Jr. did lead some laps as well in that one, and those two battled late to the line, with Eliason taking the win by 0.04 of a second. Eliason and the Ridge 8 car were in Pennsylvania to get some races under their belts with new crew chief Jim Shuttlesworth. The team had recently parted ways with Tyler Swank, and it was definitely a good move to try and get this new pairing comfortable before that High Limit season starts back up again in April. Eliason is currently 18th in High Limit points and has a sizable hole to climb out of if they're going to contend for a High Limit charter spot this season. A Sunday show at Babs, not the same field, same level of field he'll be racing against when he goes back out on the road, but wins are always good for that confidence. A couple of other news items for you from recent days. First, NASCAR Cup Series driver Chase Briscoe is getting his sprint car team going again this season. The Mahindra-branded 5 car will run approximately 35 races this season with Ford Power under the hood. Briscoe will run something like half of those races, and then midget racer Carter Sarf will run the rest. Sarf won twice last year with the Extreme Outlaw Midgets and added a Power Eye victory as well. I don't think Sarf has a ton of winged experience. I know he's made some non-wing starts, so this will definitely be a step up for his career. Briscoe made a handful of wing sprint car starts in 2023, including with the All-Stars at Outlaw Speedway. He finished 16th in that race. He also attempted the very first High Limit show back in 2022 and ran some super late model races that year as well. Briscoe comes from a dirt racing background, but we haven't seen him participate as much as some of his other NASCAR compatriots. guys like Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell have. No schedule was announced with that information forthcoming. And in the Midwest, Justin Henderson has a new sprint car ride for 2024. He'll partner up with Guy Forbrook for some measure of races this season. Henderson was originally supposed to run the Don Kreitz 69K, a bunch in central Pennsylvania, but that deal went south not long ago over motor issues for Kreitz. The 69K has scaled back to just Port Royal with Logan Wagner and a few starts elsewhere with Darren Pittman. Back in February, Henderson told Jeremy Elliott at SprintCarUnlimited.com that he was going to focus on his own car in the aftermath of that deal going sideways, and that he was also looking for other opportunities. Henderson and Forbrook will start their season at Knoxville on April 20th, and I'm sure we'll see them plenty through the year as well at places like Husitz. Finally today, I wanted to jump back to some of the fallout in the sprint car world in the aftermath of the World Racing Group deal to purchase the ASCS. We did a daily show where I talked a bunch about those schedule changes that were coming for the ASCS and PowerEye stepping in to get some of those dates that were originally on the ASCS slate. That included the two Texas Motor Speedway weekends that lead into those high limit races and the Hockett McMillan Memorial at Lucas Oil Speedway. Back on March 12th, it was announced that those Texas dates in April are now PowerEye and Elite 410 Outlaw Nights. They're going to pay $4,000 and $5,000 to win. That will be a tune-up weekend for the high limit race on April 13th, both for competitors and the racetrack surface. Remember that the dirt track at Texas Motor Speedway doesn't get used very often, so they're going to need some time to get that track ready to go. The Texas Motor Speedway website also shows the October ASCS races there as well, flipped to PowerEye. That weekend of the 4th and 5th in October will then lead into the high limit season finale on October 11th and 12th. And then yesterday came the official announcement that the winged sprint car portion of the Hockett McMillan is now both 410 and PowerEye sanctioned. This had been a big weekend in the past for 360 competitors, with the Hockett drawing 85 360 cars last season. Now, though, if all of those guys want to race this event, they'll have to bolt in the big power. With that type of support, I'm a bit surprised the Hockett is moving away from 360s and that PowerEye didn't just keep this the same thing. They obviously could have done that. We know that they've sanctioned other 360 races in the past. I don't see any way that they can match that car count with 410s. And obviously, I wouldn't expect that because any of the, you know, so-called national level teams are not going to hit this one up, as the World of Outlaws are going to be in California that week in September. They'll be at Bakersfield and Merced, and then High Limit has the 50,000 win Commonwealth Clash at Lernerville. That Lernerville race a year ago drew 58 cars, so all the outlaw teams, all the California guys will be out west, and then the High Limit teams, a lot of the other high-level cars are going to go to Lernerville for that big money. You can see more details on the announcements over at PowerEye.com. That's it for the Daily Show today. Over at DirtTracker.com, I've made some much-needed updates to the site's front page and the news offerings there. That included getting rid of the now defunct All-Star newsfeed and adding Height Limit into the mix. Also fixed the Mars Series newsfeed and added in the Flow Racing Night in America series. If you see any glaring omissions there, feel free to let me know, but you can find that stuff anytime over at DirtTracker.com. Hope you guys have a great Monday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.